He called him by name. Coming to you from Riverside, California, this is the LifeSpring 1-Year Bible and podcasting since 2004. I'm your OG Godcaster, Steve Webb. This is Gospel Saturday, and our reading will be Luke 19 and 20. I'm calling the episode, The Tax Collector. Kind of appropriate for us here in the U.S., what with Tax Day coming up and me up to my eyeballs preparing my taxes. Before we get started, let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time. We thank you for your word, and we ask you, Lord, to touch our hearts and our minds today as we read. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's get started. Luke chapter 19. He entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was, and was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. When they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back 4 times as much." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." While they were listening to these things, Jesus went on to tell a parable, because he was near Jerusalem, and they supposed that the kingdom of God was going to appear immediately. And so he said, "A nobleman went to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself, and then return. And he called 10 of his slaves, and gave them 10 minas, and said to them, 'Do business with this until I come back.' But his citizens hated him, and sent a delegation after him, saying, 'We do not want this man to reign over us.' When he returned after receiving the kingdom, he ordered that these slaves to whom he had given the money be called to him so that he might know what business they had done. The first appeared, saying, 'Master, your mina has made 10 minas more.' And he said to him, 'Well done, good slave, because you have been faithful in a very little thing, you are to be in authority over 10 cities. The second came, saying, 'Your mina, master, has made 5 minas. And he said to him also, "And you are to be over 5 cities. Another came, saying, "Master, here is your mina, which I kept put away in a handkerchief. For I was afraid of you, because you are an exacting man. You take up what you did not lay down, and reap what you did not sow." He said to him, "By your own words I will judge you, you worthless slave. Did you know that I am an exacting man, taking up what I did not lay down, and reaping what I did not sow? Then why did you not put my money in the bank? And having come, I would have collected it with interest." Then he said to the bystanders, "Take the mina away from him and give it to the one who has the 10 minas. And they said to him, "Master, he has 10 minas already." I tell you that to everyone who has, more shall be given. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. But these enemies of mine, who do not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slay them in my presence." After he had said these things, he was going on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he approached Bethphage in Bethany, near the mount that is called Olivet, he sent 2 of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you. There, as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has yet ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say, 'The Lord has need of it.'" So those who were sent went away and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They said, "The Lord has need of it." They brought it to Jesus, and they threw their coats on the colt and put Jesus on it. As he was going, they were spreading their coats on the road. As soon as he was approaching near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they had seen, shouting, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord! peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. But Jesus answered, I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out. When he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, If you had known in this day, even you, the things which make for peace. But now they have been hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will throw up a barricade against you and surround you and hem you in on every side. And they will level you to the ground and your children with you. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another because you did not recognize the time of your visitation. Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out those who were selling, saying to them, It is written, And my house shall be a house of prayer, but you have made it a robber's den. And he was teaching daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the leading men among the people were trying to destroy him, and they could not find anything that they might do, for all the people were hanging on to every word he said. Luke chapter 20. As he was teaching and preaching the good news, the religious leaders and the teachers of the law and the elders came. They said to him, Tell us, by what right and power are you doing these things? Who gave you the right and the power? Jesus said to them, I will ask you one question also. You answer me. Was the baptism of John from heaven or from men? They said to themselves, If we say from heaven, he will say, Then why did you not believe him? But if we say, from men, then all the people will throw stones at us because they believe John was one who spoke for God. They said that they did not know where John's baptism came from. Jesus said to them, And I will not tell you where I get the right and the power to do these things. Jesus began to tell the people a picture story, saying, There was a man who planted a grape field. He rented it to farmers. Then he went to a country far away for a long time. At the time of gathering fruit, he sent one of his servants to the farmers to get some of the fruit. But the farmers beat him and sent him away without fruit. He sent another servant. The farmers beat him also. They made it very hard for him and sent him away without fruit. He sent a third servant. They hurt him and threw him out of the grape field. Then the owner of the grape field said, What should I do? I will send my much-loved son. They might respect him. The farmers saw the son. They said to themselves, This is the one who will get everything when the owner dies. Let us kill him, and we will get everything. They put him out of the grape field and killed him. Now, what will the owner of the grape field do to them? He will come and kill those farmers. Then he will rent the grape field to other farmers. When they heard this, they said, May this never be done. Jesus looked at them and said, What does this writing mean? The stone that was put aside by the workmen has become the most important stone in the building. Whoever falls on this stone will be broken, and on the one it falls, it will make them like dust. At this time, the religious leaders and the teachers of the law tried to take Jesus, but they were afraid of the people. These leaders knew Jesus had told this picture story against them. They watched Jesus, and they sent men who pretended to be good people to watch him. They wanted to trap him in something he said. Then they could give him over to the leader of the people who had the right and the power to say what to do with him. These men who were sent asked Jesus, Teacher, we know that what you say and teach is right. We know you do not show more respect to one person than to another. We know you teach the truth about God. Is it right for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Jesus knew they were trying to trap him. He said, Show me a piece of money. Whose picture is this? Whose name is on it? And they said, Caesar's. Jesus said to them, Pay to Caesar the things that belong to Caesar. Pay to God the things that belong to God. They could find nothing wrong with what he taught. They were surprised and wondered about what he told the people, so they said nothing more. Some people from the religious group who believe no one will be raised from the dead came to Jesus. They asked him, Teacher, Moses wrote to us in the law, If a man's brother dies and leaves a wife but no children, then his brother must marry her. He should have children for his brother who died. There were seven brothers. The first had a wife but died without children. The second brother took her for his wife. He died without children. The third brother took her for his wife. In the same way, all seven took her for a wife. They all died without children. Then the woman died also. When people are raised from the dead, whose wife will she be? All seven brothers had her for a wife. Jesus said to them, "People of this earth marry and are given in marriage, but those who have the right to have that life and are raised from the dead do not marry and are not given in marriage. They cannot die anymore. They are as the angels and are sons of God. They are children who have been raised from the dead. As for the dead being raised, even Moses spoke of that when he told of the burning bush. There he calls the Lord, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. For he is not the God of the dead. He is the God of the living. All live for him." One of the teachers of the law said, "Teacher, you have spoken well." After that, they were afraid to ask him anything. Jesus said to them, "How do they say that Christ is the son of David? For David himself said in the book of Psalms, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right side until I make those who hate you a place to rest your feet.' David calls him Lord. Then how can he be his son?" All the people were listening. He said to his followers, "Look out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in long coats. They like to have people speak words of respect to them in the center of town where people gather. They like the important seats in the places of worship. They like the important places at big suppers. They take houses from poor women whose husbands have died. They cover up their actions by making long prayers. They will be punished all the more." Let's talk about Zacchaeus from chapter 19. Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector, one of the bosses, and the Jews hated tax collectors in general, so as a chief tax collector, he was probably especially disdained by them. Tax collectors often got rich by taking extra taxes from the people over and above what was required by the Roman government, and Zacchaeus appears to be one of those guys who took full advantage of his position. Oh, and did I mention, Zacchaeus was himself a Jew. Yeah, so here's a Jew working for the enemy, taking money from the Jews. Well, interestingly, the name Zacchaeus means pure one, which of course he was anything but pure. He had evidently heard about Jesus and the miracles he had done, and probably had heard reports of his teaching and the way he dealt with people. So Zacchaeus wanted to meet him, so much that he ran ahead along the route that Jesus was taking and climbed up a sycamore tree because he was a short man and couldn't see over the heads of the crowd. Let's consider for a moment the inclusion of the fact that he was a short man. While not always true, it is sometimes true that short men develop a personality trait that some people call a Napoleon complex or short man syndrome. They sometimes have a chip on their shoulder, often as a result of being bullied when they were young. And this might be why Zacchaeus became a tax collector, as a way of getting back at those people that bullied him. He may have become driven to achieve financial success no matter what it took, because of the same reason. And this driven personality trait made him a man that didn't let anything get in his way. So on this day, in order to see Jesus, he set aside personal pride and climbed a tree as a child would do, so that he could achieve the goal of seeing this Jesus that everybody was talking about. I like what commentator Alexander McLaren said. "I wish there were more of us who did not mind being laughed at, if only what we did helped us to see Jesus." So Jesus did walk past the tree where Zacchaeus had perched himself, and he looked up and he called Zacchaeus by name. He called him by name. I believe that Jesus had a divine appointment with Zacchaeus that day. This was no chance meeting. Jesus knew that Zacchaeus was waiting to see him, and that Zacchaeus' heart was prepared for something special, even if Zacchaeus himself didn't even know it. "Hurry down from there, Zacchaeus, because I'm coming to your house today," Jesus said. Can you imagine hearing that? Can you imagine Zacchaeus' excitement at those words? The crowd around Jesus is so numerous that he had to climb a tree to even see him, and Jesus singles him out by name and says, "I want to spend some time with you." Jesus didn't just want to talk to him. He wanted to have a relationship with him. In John 10:3, Jesus said,
The one who watches the door opens it for him. The sheep listen to the voice of the shepherd. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Jesus knew Zacchaeus by name, and he knows your name, beloved. Isn't that marvelous? Of the billions of people who have ever lived, he knows your name. But of course he does, because he formed you in your mother's womb. Psalm 139:13 says, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb." I find this to be both humbling and reassuring, don't you? So after Jesus called to him in the tree, what did Zacchaeus do? He did what Jesus asked him to do. He hurried down from the tree. And our verse says that he received him gladly. Zacchaeus could have stayed in the tree. He could have come down but rejected Jesus inviting himself into his home. But Zacchaeus received him gladly. Charles Spurgeon said, "Christ will not force himself into any man's house and sit there against the man's will. That would not be the action of a guest, but of an unwelcome intruder." Well, Jesus was not going to be an intruder in Zacchaeus' house. Zacchaeus received Jesus before he knew what Jesus was going to do or say at his house. He just received Jesus on Jesus' terms. And isn't this the way we're called to receive Jesus? Most of us did not study Christian doctrine before accepting Jesus. We just knew that we needed him. When I was a teenage boy, I had no idea what he would do with me when I accepted him. I certainly didn't know that I'd be talking to you right now. I just knew that I needed him. And in the more than 50 years since I happily received Jesus, there has never been one fleeting moment that I regretted that decision. We aren't told what Zacchaeus and Jesus talked about once they got to his home, but after spending some time with Jesus, Zacchaeus stopped and told Jesus, "Behold, Lord, half of all my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Listen, there are no special words you have to say to accept Jesus. It was obvious that Zacchaeus had experienced a changed heart, a changed mind, a changed character. He had, in fact, become born again. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, this person is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come." If you have not yet received Jesus, you can do it now. Invite him in, just like Zacchaeus did. Ask him to come in, to spend some time with you, and allow him to do what he will do with your life. I promise you will forever be glad you did. You can accept Jesus just by praying a simple prayer. I can lead you if you like. Just pray after me if you want to follow Jesus. You can pray out loud or in the quietness of your heart. Are you ready? Here we go. Dear Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and I'm sorry for my sin. I turn away from it now and turn to you by faith right now. Thank you for dying on the cross for me and paying the price for all of my sins. I ask you now to come into my life and be my Lord, my Savior, and my friend. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to stand for you from this moment forward. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, congratulations. You've begun a new life as a child of the King. Sometimes people feel like a weight has been lifted off their shoulders. Sometimes they feel joyful. Sometimes they feel nothing. Well, the fact is, it doesn't matter how you feel. Your salvation is not based on emotions. It's based on the promise of God, and God always keeps his promise. There are many promises for those who believe in Jesus, and here's one of them. John 3:16 says, "For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." That promise is from the lips of Jesus himself, and if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, you are now one of his. And I'd like to send you a very special New Testament free of charge to help you get started in your new life. Listening to this podcast is a great way to get to know the Bible, but the New Believer's Bible has hundreds of notes, especially for, as you might guess, new believers, written by Greg Laurie of Harvest Ministries. All you have to do is email me with your name and address, and I'll send one right out to you as a gift. And I won't sell or use your email address in any other way. I just want to help you get off on the right foot. Email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. I'll send it right out. Let me hear from you, whether you have a comment or a question, or if you'd like a copy of the New Believer's Bible. You can call the LifeSpring Family Hotline at +1-951-732-8511 or go to comment.lifespringmedia.com. Send me a comment via Boostergram or send an email to me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Tomorrow will be Epistle Sunday, and we'll read Colossians 3 and 4. There are two associate producers today. Anonymous came in with his weekly $22.22 Roa Ducks donation. Thank you very much, Anonymous, and God bless you. And Michael Hainer came in with his weekly Striper donation of $7.77. Thanks, Michael. God bless you. Beloved, if the show is a blessing to you, if it has value, if it's added something good to your life, would you please consider donating to help keep it going? Would you pray about it? Ask the Lord what He would have you do, then follow His leading. Then go here.
LifespringMedia.com/support.
I believe God will bless you, and I will thank you.
New mail notification.
This email came in this past Saturday, but with Resurrection Sunday and taxes coming up, I didn't get to it until I was putting today's show together. As I was prepping the show, I remembered it was in my inbox, and when I read it, I was amazed at how appropriate it is in light of today's reading. This is from Steve Dew. I'll go ahead and add my story on who brought me to Jesus. It was my pastor, Kurt Jenkins, at Central Assembly of God. I told him shortly after meeting him that I believed in God, but I didn't understand the crucifixion and resurrection. I didn't understand the spiritual mechanism at play there. I think it was his sermon the very next week on Palm Sunday that seemed like he teed me up specifically. Paraphrasing, he said that, quote, "We get salvation by accepting Jesus in our heart by faith. You don't have to understand it in your head," unquote. Boom. Right from that moment, my heart belonged to Jesus. That was exactly the message I needed to hear, and I'm convinced it wasn't Pastor Kurt teeing me up. It was God. I had my whole life been trying to make sense of things exclusively with my head and not my heart. My heart was always following behind my head with everything I did, consequences of which I'm still unpacking today, but the big consequence is it kept me from accepting Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Steve continues, "As I approach my rebirthday on Monday," oh, congratulations, Steve, he said, "I'm reminded of what other people in the church and on the pastoral team told me that day, that it was the best decision I ever made. Hallelujah, is that ever true? One of the other miraculous things God has done for me over this year is once I got my head out of the way and started to lead with my heart is how the Holy Spirit filled in the understanding I had always been missing about Jesus and I now realize I'd always been yearning for. He is the source of all wisdom, after all. I've learned that peace, wisdom, truth, kindness, goodness, grace, life, and light are all one person, and that if you earnestly seek those things, you will inevitably end up right at His feet. Hopefully others seeking these things aren't so intellectually stubborn that they don't take 46 years to get there like I did." I thought this email would be shorter than this. I guess I just love God too much to keep it short with my testimony. That's not a bad thing. I agree, Steve. And Steve closes with, "All glory to Him. Happy Easter, Steve." Well, thank you for that, Steve. Right back at you, just a few days late. And happy spiritual birthday. Thank you for the note. I appreciate it. And God bless you, Steve. Remember that tomorrow will be our next time of praises and prayer requests, so please call in your prayer request or praise at 951-732-8511 or go to prayer.lifespringmedia.com.
Thanks to Sister Denise, Michael Hainer, Scott Snyder, Jason Pascal, who did today's show art, and Sister Brittany, the team. Also, thanks to today's associate producers, Anonymous and Michael Hainer, for helping to make this episode possible. Thank you, beloved, for inviting me to be a part of your day. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. My name is Steve Webb. Bye.
Boost.